This morning, I've titled my message, Questions I'm Asked in the Store. I'd like us to turn to John chapter 14 in the Gospel. I'd like to read the first 10 verses. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Thomas, one of his disciples, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." This is God's word for us today. Praise be to God. Amen. Well, every week I'm in Loughborough or New Kensington, or somewhere here along the Kiske Valley. And I visited your homes, I visited the stores, I visited the banks, I visited all these places in town. China Lobster, wherever. But invariably, wherever I'm at, whether it's Kmart or Roses or Sheets, someone will come up to me and say, "Hello, Pastor Cletus." I'll say, "Hello." Of course, you're in line many times, or you're waiting to buy something. And the next item they say is, "I have a question for you." Okay. In fact, in all these years as a pastor, about 30 years now, I've kept note cards of all the questions people have asked me in the stores. Okay. Put them on note cards so I could remember. And they're not always just, "Hi, how are you doing?" questions. They're like these big ultimate questions of life that you don't have 30 minutes to stand in line and make everybody wait for you. I want to take a couple of those questions today and share them with you, because I've been asked these questions in stores or different places. Maybe you have these questions, or maybe you've asked these questions, or maybe you have thoughts on these questions. I wanted to share them with you because, like I said, wherever I go. Now, I want to say before I begin, I'm not interested in debating anybody or arguing with anybody, in the store especially, in front of all those people, which some of these questions can lead to, or psychoanalyzing anybody. But I know I only have a few moments to give an answer or a thought. And another thing I like to add, that if you have been a part of the Ephesians Bible study, some of these questions may have been answered in your own mind through the Bible studies. So, for all of us who may be in the store or somewhere else at home, I know that reading the Bible, studying it, reading with other people, attending worship, can really help us with helping other people see God in their lives. So, here's one question I was asked in the store one time. "Pastor Cletus, is it true that just because I'm good, I won't go to heaven?" Now, first of all, I want to say to that person, I didn't say you weren't a good person. So they get the wrong on the wrong track, I think, our minds, and assume things. They probably heard in a sermon or somewhere that good people don't go to heaven. You ever heard that one? Good people don't go to heaven. And that's confusing because for some people it's like the balance of the weight. You know, the good weighs outweighs the bad. And, you know, that's got to be worth something, isn't it? And the view that the entrance into heaven is based on the good outweighing the bad sounds common sense. Sounds good. But that perspective actually is biblically incorrect. In fact, in our Ephesians Bible study that we had recently, these past few weeks, we read these words from the Holy Bible. Paul the Apostle wrote, by the power of the inspiration of the Spirit, these words, "It is by grace you are saved," meaning this life and the life to come, "through faith, not by your works or your good deeds, so that none of you can boast." That's why we talk about grace. Grace is what Christ did. Grace is what we need to believe in the Lord with. In those Bible studies that I had, I emphasized two things, grace and in Him. Everything is in Him. When Christ is in you, and you are in Him, God sees Christ in you. And yet, I think it's very interesting that the verse right after that says, "You were created to do good works." So don't go home and say, "Pastor Cletus said, I don't have to do good things." I didn't say that. People assume things from one comment and it didn't mean the other thing that they're saying. Of course you're supposed to. In fact, if you live by grace, the evidence of a Christian life is good works and a changed life. I remember in the scripture, maybe you remember this story in the life of Christ, a rich young ruler comes up to him, says, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to be? How good do I have to be?" Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "There is no one good but God." Now, I was nicer than Jesus. He said, "There's no one good but God." So He says no one's good. In fact, He said to that person, "Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow Me." The Bible said he walked away sad. And Jesus was sad too, as well. It's the grace of God, not our works. See, God's standard is perfection. And none of us can live up to that. You know, myself, if I were grading myself, I'd probably try to rank high, right? I do this, I do that for church. Look, you're here every Sunday, you do these sorts of things. But really, if we look deeper, sometimes we embellish, fudge the truth. You know, our perspective isn't God's perspective. And what God sees is what matters. So we aren't perfect. That's why we need a pardon that comes through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I heard a story one time of a man who was in Jerusalem near the Calvary Hill where Jesus was crucified. He had been on a tour with some people, and the tour guide, he talked to him. He said, "I'd like to walk to the top of that hill to see where the cross was." And the tour guide said, "I don't want, no, don't go." He discouraged him. He said, "Why not?" He said, "Don't go." He said, "Well, I'm going anyway." So he went toward the top of the hill, and the tour guide followed him. And when he got to the top of the hill, he saw the whole city of Jerusalem before him. He imagined what it was like in that day with those crosses. And he had a hat on, and he took it off and put it on his heart, and he bowed his head. And he looked at the tour guide, and he said, "Sir, Have you ever been up on this hill before? He said, oh yes, 2,000 years ago. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took care of it all. And that's why personal faith in Jesus is so important. We must, by faith, live into the grace of God and be saved by the grace of God. I see grace is like a medicine when we're sick. You have the medicine bottle there, sitting on your table. You know it can help you if you take the medicine. But as long as you allow the medicine on the table and never take it, it doesn't do any good for you. You must reach by faith into Jesus, not by all your works, but by faith into Jesus. Faith is trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. It was because of how good he is, not how good we are. It's not about how good we are, it's how much we're forgiven. That's what it's about. We need to be forgiven by the grace of God. So, I don't usually say all that in the store because the line would be pretty long right now. But that's the kind of questions I've gotten. Now, I've gotten a second question in stores. Totally different. You can follow my bulletin. They're right there in the bulletin. Standing in a store, and someone came up to me and said, Pastor Cletus, Muslims, Jews, and Christians, don't they all worship the same God? And since they do, why can't we all just get along? I'm looking, do you have a half hour at least to talk? You know, Muslims, Christians, and Jews all believe there's one God. And they all believe that he is a transcendent God. He is a great God beyond all of us. Now, through the years, I've met many imams and Muslims. I think they're very interesting to talk to. They generally have a very different worldview than me on life. And they're ready to talk, if you want to talk. And I can work with a Muslim person. I meet them all the time. People say, where are they at? They're all around here. They're in this area. They're everywhere. So if you haven't met any, you need to get out more. But there's two things that I've tried to talk very in detail with a Muslim man or woman that's very, very different. It's at the core of what we believe. I have one of their holy books. It's called the Quran. And in the Quran, it says that Jesus is not the Son of God. It says that. Now that's at the core of what we believe. Do we worship the same God? I don't think so. And they also state that God is not a Trinity. That is the core of what we believe as well. I remember one occasion in the Bible, Peter and Jesus were talking. And Jesus said to Peter, who do all these people say that I am? Remember what Peter said? Some say you're Elijah, come back from the dead, and John the Baptist too, you've come alive. Remember what Jesus said? But who do you say, Peter, that I am? Remember what he said? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the biggest difference. And to my Jewish friends and rabbis that I meet, I always say, first of all, I appreciate you. See, like I said, I'm not interested in arguing with anyone or debating anybody. I personally don't think that is helpful. Some people like to do that, but that doesn't help me. I want to meet you as a human being and a friend. And I always say, you know, my Savior is a Jew, or was a Jew. And I have a rabbi friend, he asked me to even speak in his synagogue on a Sabbath night about Christianity. He didn't ask me to deny Christ. So I have a great affinity for the Jewish people. For in many ways, Christianity came out of Judaism. Got a book that has a book that they use, the Old Testament. They don't call it the Old Testament, they just call it the Hebrew Scriptures. But I believe one day that the Jewish people will see Jesus as the Lord and the Messiah. The Bible says that. And in those end times, and we are already in them, and each day is closer to the end, I believe that they will see Jesus as the true God. And also my Muslim friends as well. So I think it's a tragedy to say we all worship the same God. Not really. Allah and the Son of God is not the same. But that doesn't mean I have to be afraid of anybody. In fact, I can be friends with that person. And I can work with them. And show them who Jesus really is. Maybe that's what's been missing all these years. So, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. A third and final question I've been asked, and I'm going to mention a few more next week, but this one's more practical and down to earth. Pastor Cletus, can I be a real person and still be a Christian? Or in other words, if I am a Christian, I'm not going to have fun anymore. Right? It's not fun anymore. No more fun. Follow a bunch of rules. Live a boring life. Never do anything exciting. Never do this or that. It's like no, no, no in their mind, Christianity. Or maybe they've reached the height of success in their life as they can go. Is this it? This is all I got? I think being a Christian allows you to be the most real person you can be. Again, the whole idea has been hijacked by other people's images of Christians. We don't have to be this strange-looking person. We be who we are as a human being. In fact, when Jesus saves you, he doesn't change your face, doesn't change your clothing, doesn't change how you walk. He doesn't even change your background. You still have the same background. But what's different is that Christ is in you, and he's making the changes in your life that are the difference, make all the difference in the world. And the real you that he intended for you to be from your mother's womb becomes the real you in this life. And he brings the real fulfillment, the real purpose, the real acceptance. And that's found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible even says, Jesus put on human flesh. I like to say put on an earth suit. The Son of God. And walked among all of us to show us what it was like to be a real person. Not to isolate ourselves from people, but to be with people and interact with them as a real man or woman. And he didn't ask anyone to try to be a better person. Do good and God will take you in. No, he said, come to me, follow me. And I believe that God has such a genuine love for every person. And he's provided the way through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. That your relationship with him, as you're saved by the grace of God, you are still you. You're you. Your name didn't change. Your, like I said, your being didn't change. But Christ changes you now, spiritually. I wanted to share with you a couple questions I've been asked in the store. Every week we have a staff meeting at the church, and invariably they bring up, what are you going to preach about Sunday? I'm always trying to think ahead. Where am I at? I don't wait till Saturday night. What are you going to preach about? I said, questions I'm asked in the store. And I explained to them what I was going to do, and they said, what, are we going to be here all day or what? Well, you know, when you're in the store, you don't have all day. You only have a couple minutes at the most, even. Because, like I said, you can back up the line, and then you will really make people angry. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. Then he says this, with gentleness and respect, not with arguing and debating. You don't need to argue with people. You just need to be yourself, a real person. Present yourself with the love of Jesus Christ inside of you. And you'll find out that people will see that Jesus is the answer to all the issues of their life. Our next hymn of worship is number 619, I Love to Tell the Story. And even in the store, we can tell the story of Jesus with great love and faith and care. Let's stand as we sing this, I Love to Tell the Story.